Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Philippians chapter 4. My earliest memory of Memorial Day celebration was when I attended Auburnshire Elementary School. It was on Auburn Road. It has since been razed, and today it's just an empty field. But I do remember that we would go outside at the close of the day. We would sit on folding chairs there on the front lawn, sing a song or two of patriotic music. Our principal, Mrs. McLean, would get up and say a few words. And then probably what makes you remember the celebration was they would give us little loaves of Wonder Bread, and we would take them home, and that was always a special treat. Of course, then it was still celebrated on May the 30th, and was called Declaration Day. And that is my earliest memory of that celebration. The original idea came following the Civil War, when people would go and decorate the graves of those who had died in that awful conflict between the North and the South. As one headline, an article said, "Honoring our heroes from Arlington to remote prairie shrines to foreign grave sites, America has provided resting places for her fallen sons. Now, as Memorial Day is celebrated, we revive the memory of heroes with living blossoms. Long after Bunker Hill or Bull Run or Baston, the dead lie in peace. They left us names the world cannot forget: Shiloh, Normandy, Iwo Jima, and the Pusan Perimeter. In certain of our national cemeteries, as the noon shadows lengthen on Memorial Day, somewhere faintly a bugle blows taps, and we renew the resolve Abraham Lincoln gave us, that these dead shall not have died in vain." Unquote. Last year marked the 75th anniversary of when our armies invaded the German fortifications along the beaches of Normandy, France. Terry Chowders writes, "I am honored to say that my father, Clyde Chowder, was among those who went ashore on that day known as D-Day. Recently, I read about a group of 34 men who had grown up together in Bedford, Virginia, population at the time of 3,200. 34 men known as the Bedford Boys, as they were became to be known, were among the thousands who stormed the enemy defenses. In the first D-Day invasion, 19 of the Bedford sons were killed in action. Four more died in the next few days. Because the families of Bedford had paid such a high price, their town was chosen as the site for the National D-Day Memorial." Unquote. The story of the Bedford, of Bedford and her brave sons vividly demonstrates that liberation from tyranny is a very costly undertaking. Certainly the cost they paid was high, but it cannot compare to the cost of what God has undertaken. The task of liberating the human race from the penalty of sin and its tyranny. It cost the Heavenly Father dearly as he gave his only begotten Son. The cost to the Son was that he actually became sin for us, giving his blood to atone for our sins. Let me read to you from the book of Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Question: Do you ever ponder those that have made sacrifices so that we could hear the gospel story? Ponder these words from the old hymn, "O Zion, Haste." If I was in the church building, I would ask Cheryl if she knows this song. She seems to know most of the old time songs. "O Zion, Haste" was the title. Give of your sons to bear the message glorious. Give of your wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out your soul for them in prayer victorious. Do you ever ponder what has been done for us? When we think of Memorial Day 2020, do we think of those men and women who through the years pay the ultimate sacrifice in the giving of their lives for our land, for the right to worship freely, for our spiritual freedoms? Our church sign on a previous Memorial Day weekend had this simple thought: "You are not forgotten." But have we forgotten those who have paid the price for our spiritual heritage? Have we taken for granted those who stood firm and faithful, proud and valiant? Those that sang or preached as they were martyred for their faith? The book of Philippians, if you would, please, chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again I say, rejoice. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this weekend. And Lord, as we celebrate tomorrow, the fact of those who have gone before us because of their willingness to sacrifice, that we could have freedom. Lord, we just pray also that we remember those who have died for the faith, who were courageous even to the end. Help us, Lord, to stand in this evil day. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Therefore, my brethren dearly beloved, Paul is writing this to a group of believers, and he calls them beloved. He longed for them. He said they were his joy and crown, and he encourages them to stand fast in the Lord. May I say this here as he calls them fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. The book of Revelation talks about the books, and then he talks about the book of life, where we that are redeemed have our names written down. So he tells us to stand fast, be glad that we are born again believers. Rejoice in the Lord alway. Not too many pastors have had the privilege that I have had. Being a member here at the Covenant Baptist Church for almost my whole life. My other few years that I was a member of another church, New York Avenue Baptist Church, was during my seminary days. And because of this church, I have known some mighty good and godly men and women, beginning with my parents, Ted and Rosemary Madonna. I think of Barbara Lyons, who was the one who was instrumental in getting my mother to go to church. I think of people like Margie Prince and Lydia Weinberger and her husband Eugene. I think of Ben and Kathy Blazak and Don and Marion Cochran, Mrs. Peterson. I think of Rich Lee, Ed Johnson. I think of Bud Smith and Fern. I think of Bill Britton, and let alone about Neil and Phyllis Jackson, Jim and Dot Foster, Bob and Marilyn Plennis. And the list goes on and on. When men and women who sacrificed their time, their effort, their money, that the Covenant Baptist Church could first be established and then to have existed for over 60 years. And there are those who have surrendered to send forth and sound forth the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And I can say I can never repay what I owe this outpost of faith. A while back, I was given information about a pastor's retirement village. And I began to look into it and found out that for $13,000, I could have a brand new 3-bedroom ranch house. Now, it would not really be mine. It just would, I would be able to live in it until I passed on. And it would be a $300 a month fee to live in the village. And I contemplated seriously moving. I talked to my wife. I talked to my boys. And I began to pray and ask the Lord the direction. And my wife gave her opinion, and my boys gave their opinions. And it came down to this, that I love you guys too much to leave. You know, I owe so much to the Covenant Baptist Church. My whole life basically has been right here. I've often wondered when James Elliott, Nate Saint, Ed McCulley, Roger Rondarian, and Peter Fleming, when they knew that things had gone from bad to worse, that there was no escape, that death was certain, and that they were about to enter heaven's glory, all for the cause of Christ. It was James Elliott that had these famous words: "He is no fool that gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you would please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Of course, verse 7 is that great testimony of the Apostle Paul. We begin reading at verse 1, Paul writing here to this young preacher. He says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make proof of thine ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also unto them also that love his appearing." The Apostle Paul was a great warrior of the faith. He said, "I have fought a good fight, finished my course, and kept the faith." I want to tell you, we all can have that same testimony. We can keep the faith. We can finish the course. And we can fight a good fight. Have you ever pondered how we will be remembered? See, we think back to those who began the Covenant Baptist Church, those who were the original members, those that sacrificed financially so that the church could first meet in a house and then a school building and then buy property and to build the buildings that we now have on Canal Road. Someone paid the price. Well, what about us? What will our children and grandchildren think of the Covenant Baptist Church? Over a few pages, the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 7 through 9. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This morning I got up, as I have been doing, and driving over to Costco to get gas before it gets busy. And as I was driving north on Hayes, I went past Lowe's. And I wondered as I was getting near if there'd be many people at Lowe's. And may I say, I'm not surprised that the parking lot seemed to be almost full. Here it is, 8:45, 8:30-ish, and the parking lot is full at Lowe's. I continue north, go over Hall Road, pull through the Myers parking lot to get to the Costco area. And Myers parking lot is packed. You know, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Next Sunday, we are planning to meet there at the church. And I wonder how many people will actually come and be with us. Then I got to Costco and got the gas, and they don't open to 9 o'clock. Here it is, 8:30-ish, and there are people waiting to get in. A half hour early. I'm thinking to myself as I get onto Hall Road and head towards the church, I wonder how many people next Sunday will be waiting at 9:30 to get in the church. But the Bible tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, that we are to keep the faith, that there has always been a remnant that has been faithful to the cause of Christ, that haven't bent the knee and kissed Baal. Let us not be weary in well-doing. And you imagine if you were the first to hear this read, this letter that has been sent by the Apostle Paul, been pinned in a jail. Can you hear it being read? Let us not be weary. This man that had been beaten, stoned, in shipwrecks, mocked, he had been arrested, imprisoned, and he's telling them, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. How will we be remembered? How will our children and our grandchildren remember us? When I think of those who were part of the Covenant Baptist Church years ago, and that is one of the benefits of being at one church for so long, and I begin reading off these names, and there are a handful of us that still remember the names that I gave. But I think to myself, I remember those people. I'm thankful for those who taught me in Sunday school, Mr. Badacher and Mr. Sitter, Mr. Lee, and my mother when I was in high school. I remember those that were deacons and trustees, those that sang in the choir, those that played the instruments. I remember those. But then I also remember those who fell along the wayside, who turned around and went back the other way. They became weary, disappointed, frustrated. But I thank God for those who will receive that commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In conclusion, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Usually it's the first two verses that people read, but there's an important thought in verse 3 that we want to highlight. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, before we continue, may I make it clear here that I don't believe that my mother in heaven looks over a wall and down and looks down and sees me here right now and thinks, way to go. No, I don't believe that. That wouldn't be heaven if she still saw us struggling in our day-to-day lives. But the testimonies that have gone of those who have gone before, those that are recorded in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, those that we know down through history who have made a difference, they are a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are surrounded by their testimony. And we are, well, should have a desire to leave such a testimony also. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We also were compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those from Bedford, Virginia, were remembered that they were willing to go and fight in that awful war. That's their testimony. But you know, a greater testimony is, are they born again? Are we that are born again being a witness of our Savior? Let us lay aside every weight, our burdens and cares of the world. I know. Have you ever seen so many dandelions as there are this year? It's unbelievable. Oh, the cares of this world. The lawn has dandelions on it. Well, how about the neighbor's yard? Whoa. Burdens and cares. Man, there's a lot of cares right now. Many are worried about financial uncertainty and how many places are going to shut down because of all that's gone over the last couple of months. You remember originally it was for 15 days. And then it was another 15 days and another 15 days. And our governor has said, well, now it's into the month of June. There's already talk of maybe not having school next year. And what about the NHL? I mean, what are we going to do about that? There's the burdens. Lay them aside. Lay them aside. And the sin which doth easily, so easily beset us. We could start down that trail of the sins that beset us. Paul told Timothy that in the last days there are going to be those who don't want to hear the truth. They will follow after fables. Folks, we have lots of people today that would rather believe a lie than to believe a truth. They follow after fables because it's convenient. Sometimes it's hard to stand for what is right, to stand for the Word of God. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I'll be honest with you, I never was one who enjoyed running. Oh, I enjoyed running from home plate to first base and to second base and the third base and coming home. I enjoyed that type of running. But I've never enjoyed getting out and simply running for running's sake. I always hold those people up in high regard that are willing to run a half marathon or a full marathon. Wow. I was looking through some pictures last evening and I came across Brian when he was in Minnesota and he was in a rollerblade marathon, and there was him and Jeff Dyer, and I saw the pictures and all these people that were willing to do it. And Brian, I remember you coming up the hill towards the finish line and you bent your head over to the side and I said, here it comes. He was so close to the end, and he lost it all right there on the road there in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. He did finish the course, though, I want you to know. But let us run with patience. But then Paul, I think Paul wrote Hebrews, but the author of Hebrews says, lest we be wearied and faint. How will you be remembered? Will you be remembered as one that stood the test of time? That you finished your course? That you kept the faith? Thank God for those that have. That have been willing to sacrifice time and effort and finances so that the Covenant Baptist Church will continue until He calls us home. I do hope that you will remember those who have died so that we could have this great nation that we call home. I do hope that you will remember those who have given so much that we can have a church where we worship freely. Tomorrow, I do hope that you take time to remember what has been done for us as a nation. But do remember this. God has blessed America with gospel preaching churches. And that is the greatest blessing that He has ever given us. The fact that we have men and women who have been true to the Word of God, men who have stood and preached the full counsel of the Bible. That men and women need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that have proclaimed the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that those who are willing by faith to put their trust in Him can know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Thank God for men and women who have proclaimed the truth. And may I say this to you, tomorrow, sometime, thank God that you were born in America or that you live in America. Thank God for gospel preaching churches. And thank God for a Savior who was willing to come so that we could have eternal life in heaven. Just before we pray, may I say this, I hope you have a blessed Memorial Day. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for your love, your grace, your mercy, salvation for the United States of America. Thank you, Lord, for godly men and women, past, present, and future. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.